Well, I desire your prayers this morning. Lord, bless these moments and these words. I've written faithfulness in daily life. And underneath that, in parentheses, things aren't always as they seem. I'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We'll begin here with verse 5. Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service. And that little phrase right there, not with eye service, means not while you are being watched only. Not while the master, it's common, folks, it's common human trait. That if you have a boss, supervisor, and they are on site, that when you know they are observing you, you are very attentive to your duties and trying to make a good impression. But find out that the boss is gone, and just to give you an example of that, have any of you ever gone to school where you had a substitute teacher for a class for the day? What was that like? Very different environment than when the regular teacher is there, is it not? Oh, yeah. Because many times the substitute doesn't know for sure what they're supposed to do. And I don't know how many times I saw a class become so unruly under a substitute teacher. Why? Because the boss was away. The saying is, applies that when the cat's away, the mice will play. That's what the saying is. So when we are doing our business, not with eye service, while you're being watched, as men pleasers. You see the message conveyed there? If all I'm worried about doing is while the master is watching me doing the right thing, I'm just doing it to please him. I'm not really doing it from the heart. But as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. With good will, doing service. Now in Colossians, a few pages over, chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Anything that you and I do in our faithfulness in daily life, folks, if we can have the mindset, as the Scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The God that allowed you to be born into this world surely has a purpose for you while you are here. Surely He has something in mind for you to be able to do in His work while we are here. We're not here just to mark time. We're not here just to warm a seat. We are here to do something for God because He has allowed us to be here in this world. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, back a few pages in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 7, verse 20, and then verse 24. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Verse 24. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. The common, mundane, things of ordinary life, of daily life, the drudgery sometimes of daily life, can be your divine calling. The things that you are allowed to be here in this world, that God put you here, allowed you to have life while you are here, the things that you and I do, if we are not careful, we'll carry around a burden in life, and we'll feel so burdened down by the things that we have to do day in and day out. And if we're not careful, we'll allow ourselves to constantly look at the tops of our shoes instead of being able to stand up straight and tall and thank God, I am a child of the King. The things that He has allowed me to have in this life, He has brought me. He has allowed me to live. Surely I'm here for a purpose. Surely there must be something that He wants of me while I am here. And I do not well to spend my life looking at the tops of my shoes. I do better to square my shoulders and do what I can, not as with eye service as men pleasers, not trying to make you happy, not trying to make you see me, but trying to do the will of God in every facet of my life. Now, I realize that not everything that we do has a religious connotation to it. Doesn't have a spiritual connotation to it. There are duties and responsibilities that we must just carry out in life. But the Scripture, there's an overarching principle in the Scripture that gives us the teaching that we are stewards. We are stewards of everything that God has put into our hands. And as being stewards, we ought to be careful how we use the things that He's put into our hands. Now, does that mean that we can never spend time with recreation? Does it mean I can never spend time going fishing? I certainly hope not. Does it mean that I can never spend time going to the woods? Does it mean that I can never spend time sitting around the table with my family, having conversation or playing games and laughing and reminiscing? Does it mean I can never do those things? Of course not. Of course not. But it means that I must put the proper perspective on the things that I have. If, while I am out fishing, I look around my surroundings and I think, oh, what a beautiful world God has created. And I enjoy the things that He has put there. If, while I am sitting with my family and we're around the table, and no one else in the group knows, but I may look at the situation and say, I am so thankful, in my mind, in my heart, say, I'm so thankful to be able to have everybody's feet under one table. I'm thankful. Thank you for that, Lord. Because I know that there are situations where there are estrangements. I know that. But if I am able to enjoy that benefit, ought I not to be thankful? Certainly I ought to be. But that doesn't mean that everything that I do has to have a religious connotation to it. But I ought to also remember that I need to have a thankful heart to my Lord. All right? So the common drudgery of daily life, it can be a divine calling. Folks, let's turn quickly to a couple of verses in Psalms 139 as I think of it. Verses 15 and 16. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. This is speaking of your life in the womb before you were born. That God, looking down upon the life that had been created there, saw you, had a plan and a purpose for you. Folks, let's be careful that we not take away from God those things that belong to Him. Those things that belong to Him, we do well to use the things that He has given to us to the glory and honor and benefit of God. Your life has been appointed. Every one of us. Our lives have been appointed by God's divine and wise providence. We're not here just because of a mistake. We're not here just because things just happen to come together. No, we're here because life, the plan of God, the one who created and sustains life, allowed you to be here. Do you remember what God did with Joseph? Think about Joseph just a little bit. I've read that passage different times where he had his dreams. And he said, we were in the field binding sheaves. And 11 sheaves bowed down and did obeisance to my sheaf. Told his brothers. His brothers didn't like what he said. What are you talking about? You think we're going to bow down and worship you? He had another dream. The sun, the moon, and 11 stars made obeisance to him. Told it to his father. What are you talking about? Do you think that me and your mother and your brothers are going to bow down and worship you? His mother and his brothers were a little concerned about that. His father said some pretty drastic words about it. But the Scripture also says his father considered it, thought about it. You know, there came a day when those came to fruition because his brothers did bow down and worship him. And his father and his mother did need him for sustenance. There were things there that Joseph was able to do. And he spent time in prison. He didn't rise to the top of the kingdom in one day. He was falsely accused, spent time in the prison, was forgotten about while he was there. He told the butler and the baker, remember me when you stand before Pharaoh. Tell him I'm here. And they said they would, and they forgot. And he spent all that time there. But there came a day when he came out of the drudgery of the prison. Can I tell you something about that prison, folks? I believe that that time that Joseph spent in the prison was a tempering time for him. I believe that was a time whenever he was able to have communion with God and God communion with him and making him ready and preparation and prepared for the time when he would rise to a place. But in order for you and me to be able to come to a place where we rise to a place, what you would consider prominence, if you will, we have to first be willing to be faithful in the small things. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. We have to be willing to take the faithfulness in the daily life, in the little things, day by day, day in and day out. Sometimes those things that seem most tiresome are designed to give us opportunities to become better, higher, stronger. Sometimes those things that seem will just tear me inside out are there for a reason to make me a stronger man or a woman, a better person, to be able to face the things bigger as they do come. We're called to be faithful in performing our assigned duties, whatever those may be. Not a flash in the pan. Not the notoriety which attracts the world's notice. But the regular, quiet, careful performance of day in and day out affairs. When done to the glory of God, when done, do whatsoever you do in Colossians 3:23. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. There is one that takes note of those things. In every thing that you and I do, every honest work that you do, however irksome it may seem, laborious, commonplace, we're fellow workers with God. I remember, now this is not going to be a pleasant story, but it is a story nonetheless that I have to tell you that I appreciated very much. I remember one day in school, one of my classmates got sick. And while we were in class, his stomach got to churning, obviously. And he did not make it to the bathroom. He vomited all over the floor in the classroom. That's not a pleasant situation, no matter how you slice it. That's not a pleasant situation. You know what I'm talking about. Guess who came to take care of that? The janitor. He came with his mop and his bucket and his spray. He came in and he cleaned up the mess and he sprayed in the room. And in just a little while, all that was gone. And we went back to our business. Oh, sure, it caused some excitement and stir in the classroom for a little while. But how thankful are we for those kinds of things that happen without even really taking notice of it? Shouldn't we stop and realize that the one who takes the time, who is tasked with cleaning up the messes, they have a job to do, and if while they're doing it, they're not doing it because they're wanting the air to smell better, and they're not just doing it because they want the floor to be clean again, that's part of it, but they're doing their job because it's the job that they have, and they're doing their job because they realize that God has allowed me to be here in this world, whatever task that I have to do, I'm going to do it as unto the Lord and not to men. I'm glad that you folks felt relief because it smells better in here now and the floor is clean. But the reason I did it is because God has given me the ability and I have a task to do and I'm going to perform it to the best of my ability before my Lord. Now, I'm not going to tell you that that's what the janitor had on his mind that day because I don't know. I was a boy. I couldn't say. Never ask him. But I can say this. I believe by the Word of God it tells us that those are things that we ought to, you and I ought to, take notice in our own lives. Whatever task that He has given me to do, do it heartily as to the Lord. I'd like to share something with you. This little lesson was taken from borrowed from Milton Friedman, who's an economist, and he had a lesson about the economy concerning this pencil. But I'm not going to go into that. But some of the things that he did share really stood out in my mind that I'd like to ask you to think about this morning. Okay? He uses you to serve me. He uses me to serve you. He uses us to serve one another in society, humanity. Would you look at this pencil? Just a common number 2 pencil. Just recently checked to see, and you could buy a package of 30 of these for about $6. So they're about 20 cents a piece, roughly. Maybe a little more. So, you think about what it takes to make a pencil. The components. The wood. The paint. The lead, or the graphite, rather. What does it take to make that pencil? The brass thing, the eraser? What all does it take to make this pencil? All right, let's talk about the wood. How do we get the wood? Somebody has to cut down some trees. How do you cut down a tree? With a saw, or with the big equipment that we have today that cuts them down and hauls them to another location where they're de-limbed and debarked and hauled away by trucks to a lumber yard, a mill. But in order to get a saw or that big piece of equipment, you have to have steel, metal, rubber, all those things. So in order for me to have a pencil, it takes the wood. But it takes a whole lot more than just what I see right here to get the pencil. It takes that wood and whatever it takes to get the wood to the place where it can be made into a pencil. The graphite for the lead comes from a mine in the ground. All the equipment that it takes to mine that graphite in order for it to be compressed, however it's done, and put in this pencil, so I can write with it. It's painted. It doesn't have to be. I've seen some that are just plain wood barrel, just a wood shaft. But this one's painted yellow. It's common for one to be painted yellow. Somebody had to dip it, spray it. How do you get the paint? Somebody had to either mix it, mix the chemicals. Where did all that come from? Is anybody in here working in a refinery somewhere, a chemical plant? Do you know what kind of processes it takes to make paint? The eraser? Maybe it's not rubber. Maybe it's latex. Maybe it's synthetic rubber. I don't know, but it erases pencil lines off of the paper. What I want us to think about this morning, folks, is things aren't always as they seem. They're not always as they appear. When you pick up a pencil, you just go pick up a pencil and run it through the sharpener and get a sharp point on it and you start writing. Many times without even thinking about anything else about the pencil, what does it take to get there? A lot more than what meets the eye. And if you and I are going to be successful in this world, if we're going to do anything for the Lord while we're here, if you and I are going to make any impact in this world, it takes more than what meets the eye. If you're going to do the things, if we're going to have success in our work for the Lord, whatever it may be, we have a sign up here for a kitchen manager. We need somebody, somehow we need to be able to work around the needs for providing for meals for a camp meeting. That's just one of the things, folks. Just one of the things. It takes effort from everyone, all of us. It takes effort to make these things happen. But I don't do these things. You see, the guy, whoever it was that was cutting down these trees, I don't know who he is. Very likely never met him. They may be from South America. They may be from China. They may be from the Northwest. They may be from right around this area somewhere. Maybe it's Georgia Pacific. I don't know. But whoever it is that made these pencils, made the wood, cut the wood so we could have this pencil, he did a service for me so I could have a pencil and an eraser. Whoever did the eraser, whoever did the materials for the eraser, did a service for me. So when I make a blunder, when I'm writing down my words or my lessons or my numbers in my math book, and I make a mistake on my equation, I can erase it and I can start over. He uses you to serve me, and He uses me to serve you. He uses us to serve one another. Faithfulness in daily life. The man who was willing to go out there. I remember many years ago, when there was some pulpwood being cut down on property near my uncle and aunt's place. There was two guys that were running skidders out there, and chainsaws and skidders. And I tell you, it was a sight to see. And we got to watch those guys work out there, and the work that they did, it's not the same as they do now, folks. There was hard labor work that those guys were involved in, cutting a tree down and one grabbing it with the grapple on that skidder, or another man trying to hook a chain around there where he could drag the logs to a pile and get them where they could cut them to length where they needed to be. Those are the kinds of things. There's a lot of hard work that goes on in the studs for these walls in this building. There's a lot more behind the scenes that you and I will never, ever see. We see a finished product. We see the end result of the thing, and we never realize all of the effort that's been put into it to get us to that final finished product. Things aren't always as they seem. It's easy to overlook all of the detail to get you there, but the reason we get there to that finished product is because everyone in the process was faithful in daily life. Faithful to get up on time to go punch the clock. Faithful to get up on that cold morning and drive into work and don my clothes and go out there in the forest and get ready to cut down some trees. Faithful to do those things. Faithfulness in the everyday little mundane things of life. And it's more than just that, folks, that I'm thinking of this morning. If you and I will be faithful in the things of daily life, folks, the God of heaven is looking down upon us. And if we're doing those things not just to please one another, but I'm doing those things to please God. If all I am doing it for is to have your recognition and your praise to me, it's going to be like the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus said, don't do your alms to be seen of men, because verily I tell you, they have their reward. That's an empty, empty, empty reward. The reward comes from the Lord. when I stand before Him at the end of my life's journey, and I hear Him say, "Well done, thou faithful servant," that's going to mean that He has looked over the course of my life, and He has seen how I have conducted myself, and He has accounted me as being a good steward of those things He has put into my hands. Whatever those things were. Small, great. Let's be careful with the children's song this morning, Grumblers. It caught my attention. Little quote here I wrote down. Do not murmur or grumble, but let your heart rise from your toil to God your Maker, your Savior, and friend. Have you ever been frustrated on the job? I have. Have you ever been tempted just to turn around and walk away from it all? I have. Have you ever felt like, what is the use? It seemed like I'm just spinning my wheels and getting nowhere. You ever felt that way? I have. I felt that way. And I say, Lord, check me. And I've had the Lord check me. And I come to the end of the day. I've told some folks this before. I believe I said it in service here. Come to the end of a day. Been out on the road driving. A lot of physical activity. Many opportunities for accidents, injuries, things of that nature. Back up to the dock. Bumper bumps the dock. I pull the handbrake on. Turn off the key. Unbuckle my seatbelt and say, another day without an accident. Another day without getting hurt or hurting someone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I mean that, folks. When I said it, I meant it. And I mean it today. Without God's divine providence working in our lives, folks, you and I would just be wandering, useless, aimless, with no direction in life. But because God has allowed us to be here and He saw us when we were yet in the mother's womb, still yet not totally formed, but in the process of being formed, before I ever was born, God saw my life and had a purpose for me. May God help me to be faithful in the daily life, so that when I stand before Him, He'll be willing to say, well done. Now I want to close back in Ephesians again, chapter 6, verse 7. With this verse, with goodwill, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. With goodwill, in other words, with a good heart, good mind, with the attitude right, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Now, I know that you can look at me and say, well, preacher, you're sure talking about an ideal situation of life. That's mighty idealistic. Well, perhaps. But I say this also. I believe the Lord would like for us to be there. I believe He would like for us to be in that place where we realize, Lord, You've given me two hands. You've given me a mind. You've given me some abilities. Whatever it is that You have me to do, I want to do it as if I were standing right in front of You the whole time. And You, because folks, the truth of the matter is, as Scripture says, all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. He sees it all anyway. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you today that you're never going to feel challenged. I'm not going to stand here today and tell you you're never going to find some times where you're a little discouraged. I'm not going to tell you that. Those things come in life. But I will advise you this way. When you feel that way, don't allow that to take you to the doldrums. Go to a place, when you get opportunity, go to a place where you can talk to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help you with the daily routine of life. I think sometimes of mothers rearing their children. doing the best they can, trying to keep them clothed and fed, trying to discipline them, discipline teaching, trying to give them instructions on how to do things in life, teach them how to make a bed, teach them how to keep their socks and shoes in somewhat of a neat place and orderly. Now, that's a challenge. I know it's a challenge. I realize it is. But folks, if we ever hope for our children to grow up in a society where they can be productive, they're going to have some structure and some discipline in life. And the time that you spend working with them, while you may look at that and say, my wheels just were spinning all day long. I didn't get a thing accomplished. Never got the first load of laundry washed, and I didn't get anything folded. And now it's nearly supper time, and I'm so late trying to get supper going. Maybe that's the case. But I ask you not just look at everything. Things aren't always as they seem. Things aren't always as they appear. We never can know how much difference it will make if we are willing to take the time to work with those little ones to give them instructions so they can, when they get older, be able to handle the routine of daily life. I fear, this is somewhat of a side shoot, I fear for our nation today and for our society today because of the lack of structure that people have in their lives. Oh, I'm so offended. You hurt my feelings. And I want to do everything I can to not hurt your feelings so you don't melt like a little snowflake. And I want to treat you with these little kid gloves. And you never learn how to face the real responsibility of life and what disappointment can be. I just want everything done my way. That proves to be a recipe for disaster. But if we're taught how to have discipline and structure and taught how to do things even though sometimes it's not fun. Do you think that janitor enjoyed coming in that day with his mop and bucket and spray and cleaning up the mess that was on the floor? I'm going to say that wasn't a fun thing to do, but he did it. And it was done. It was his job. And when he left, we all benefited from it. I'm thankful he was there. I don't know what he got paid, but I'm thankful he was there. I'm thankful he did it. May God help us each one to be faithful in the daily things of life. That's what's going to matter in the end. You pray for me. I want to make heaven my home. Amen.